the Dream Defenders at the Capitol building in Tallahassee, Florida. Members of this activist group have been sleeping there since July 16th, 3 days after George Zimmerman was cleared in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. They're demanding that legislators change Florida's Stand Your Ground law. Now, the eight-year-old law was not used in the Zimmerman defense, but it infused the case. It says people don't have a duty to retreat in the face of violence. A few weeks ago, Republican House Speaker Will Weatherford ordered hearings on the state's self-defense laws. Today, two voices that will likely be heard then. In a moment, State Representative Matt Gaetz, who says he doesn't want to change one comma in the law. But first, Philip Agnew. He's executive director of the Dream Defenders. He's with us from the studios of WFSU in Tallahassee. And Philip, let's start with race. The Tampa Bay Times did an analysis of Florida's 200 or so Stand Your Ground cases. It concluded that blacks have successfully used the defense more than whites. Now, defenders of the law point to that as showing that it's not racist. You are a black man, and I know you are of two minds on making this an issue of race. Explain.
In speaking about the Zimmerman case, he left his car, and the trial showed he approached and called 911 based on just a look. So it could be a racial thing. It could be an attire thing. But we shouldn't police based on prejudice or based on preconceived notions about a person's appearance or race or creed. But I think anyone who uses that argument of race as a means for why we should not or should support the law is coming from an incorrect place. I think the law is a bad law, whether the defendant is black or white. The fact is the law does not do what it was intended to do. We can think of a better law that truly does what it was intended to do, which was protect many times domestic violence victims. And it's not doing that. We see that in the case of Ms. Marissa Alexander, who invoked it and is serving a 20-year sentence right now.
This is the woman who fired a warning shot at her alleged abuser. And with just a warning shot, she is serving 20 years. Representative Gaetz, who is we're going to be speaking with next, says that the Stand Your Ground law protects women in particular. He and his father, Don Gaetz, who's a state senator there in Florida, wrote an op-ed in May saying that repealing Stand Your Ground would be anti-woman. It would impose a duty to flee on a woman, even if she's being, for instance, raped. And he claims that, in fact, until Stand Your Ground was passed, criminals were suing victims because victims, in protecting themselves, were the ones accused of using excessive force. What do you make of that argument that Stand Your Ground protects women in particular?
I think if the law was created to protect women, it should be written in a way that says that. It should be written more explicitly. What was shoved down our legislature was a law that was wide-reaching, but very hard to understand by anybody who wishes to invoke it or wishes to understand it. We had laws on the books that sufficed. There was justifiable homicide. There was self-defense, you know. And so those laws were on the books. I can't speak to the climate in 2005 when this law was brought forth, but I do know that the impetus of it or for it was ALEC and NRA and supporters of guns. And what it does is it strikes at the fear of people instead of really speaking to the true heart of the matter, which is really protection.
So you're saying there's no need for Stand Your Ground because there's always been justifiable homicide. In other words, if a rape victim was being raped, it would have been seen that it was justified in her, if she could, attacking her attacker.
Right. If you're in danger, in clear and present danger, the duty and responsibility to flee should be top priority. But if you can't, there has been laws on the books to protect that.
But I also, exactly. You know, when you go back to look at the numbers, which others have, if you crunch them further, it shows that while blacks who are using the Stand Your Ground law might be more likely to be cleared, if you look at the victims, it's more likely that the killing of a black will be seen as justified, and a lot of the crime is black-on-black crime.
Right, and we don't condone killing or violence in any way. And so whether the perpetrator of the violence is black or white, or whether the victim is black, brown, or white, we feel that a law such as this one that's confusing and has been misinterpreted and misapplied in a number of cases around the state, and that many sheriffs around the state take issue with because of that very fact, should be reevaluated, should be looked at. Public opinion is moving towards this direction. I think the political will is there for us to have a real discussion on the law, and I don't think we should miss this opportunity to strike down a law that is added to confusion and really sowed more discord in communities than help.
Well, aren't there Stand Your Ground uses that You agree with. In 2012, Sonia Mauret scratched her husband badly all over his neck and arms and justified it by telling her police she was standing her ground because her husband had attacked her, slapped and kicked her. She was granted immunity under Stand Your Ground. There's another case of a terrible case, but a 14-year-old who fatally stabbed a 16-year-old at a bus stop. But the 14-year-old had tried to avoid a fight with a 16-year-old, and when he was attacked, he took out a pocket knife, and it just happened that one of the cuts nicked the 16-year-old's heart. Terrible story, but the judge granted the 14-year-old immunity under Stand Your Ground. He was defending himself. Wouldn't you want to see that?
I think those same results would have been reached using self-defense laws.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen here? You're calling for the special session to review the law. So far, Governor Rick Scott has declined, but there has been a call for at least a debate in the fall. Is that encouraging to you?
Very encouraging. We think Florida has been a place of great discord, and there's no reason why we shouldn't transform Florida into a place for discourse. Yeah. And Florida being the first state to pass the law, we've got an interesting position, a precedent set here, that whatever happens here from this moment on can have repercussions, positive or negative, around the country.
Well, you, by the way, as we understand it, were a pharmaceutical salesman who suddenly finds yourself sitting in Tallahassee, Florida. Now, you are supported. Your salary is funded by a grant from the Service Employees International Union, although SEIU does not fund the actual protest. So, you know, your life is obviously changed. Here you are being financially supported to do this, but other people aren't sitting there. Do you feel responsible for them?
Yes, I feel totally responsible for them. It is a hard thing. None of us took this job to be rich. We'll never be rich. But we're happy every day sleeping on the floor. The atmosphere is electric.
That's Philip Agnew, executive director for the Dream Defenders, the newly formed activist group that has been holding a protest in the capital of Florida. Philip, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Philip mentioned ALEC. That's the Conservative American Legislative Exchange Council. They've been lobbying for Stand Your Ground laws, as does the NRA. When we come back, another supporter, State Representative Matt Gaetz, who will be chairing the hearings in the fall on Stand Your Ground. That's in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we are hearing from both sides in the debate over Florida's Stand Your Ground law, with the activist group Dream Defenders in their 28th day of occupying the state capitol, demanding that the law be repealed. Governor Rick Scott has not had them removed, but he also hasn't been moved to call a special session of the legislature, although the state House Speaker has called for debates in the fall. Before the break, we spoke with Philip Agnew of the Dream Defenders. Let's now bring in State Representative Matt Gaetz, the Republican chair of the House Subcommittee on Criminal Justice. He's been asked to chair the fall hearings, and he joins us on the line from his home in Seaside, Florida. Representative Gaetz, you said in an op-ed that the law, Stand Your Ground, protects women, particularly rape victims. But as we just heard, they already have access to self-defense laws like justifiable homicide. So further make your case.
Before the Stand Your Ground law was put into place in the state of Florida, pre-2005, our laws actually favored the attacker over the victim, because the victim had a duty to turn and run and retreat when they were being attacked. And, you know, I think about my mother, and she's kind of got the mama bear instinct, and if anybody were to attack her or attack her children, she'd be the first one in our family to stand her ground and to meet force with force. And so you put protective women in particular in an odd situation when in a moment's notice, when their family may be at risk, to have to choose whether or not they have a reasonable line of retreat. And I think that's an unreasonable burden to place on someone who's being attacked.
Can you cite the case of a woman who had been raped and she was accused of not running?
I can cite the case of Yahara Jimenez Castillo. It was a Hillsborough County case. It was a 15-year-old a Hispanic woman, and she was being sexually assaulted by a larger male, and he was grabbing her and attempting to sexually assault her when she pulled out a knife and she stabbed him. And this was, interestingly, a case that happened after the Stand Your Ground law was passed. And though this young lady made a stand your ground defense, it was actually denied by the trial court.
But see, people point to that as saying that stand your ground doesn't work. It's the same as with the woman that we just mentioned who fired a warning shot against her alleged abuser and is now serving 20 years. So doesn't your argument fall apart if the case you cite and the other that has been cited show that women actually aren't cleared when they use stand your ground and they're standing their ground against an attacker?
No, I think what it proves is that any law, any statute that we have on our books is subject to judicial interpretation. The question here becomes who should the law favor in a circumstance of an attack? And we think the law to favor the victim, not the attacker.
Well, but, it just doesn't make sense because, as you pointed out, we can cite at least two cases where stand your ground did not protect women who used it. And then your thoughts on how it's been used by people in ways that some find troubling. Drug dealers have used it to avoid charges. There's Tavarius China Smith, who sold crack and marijuana three times to undercover cops in Manatee County. He used stand your ground to avoid being charged with two murders because a gang member can say, I'm defending myself against another gang member.
Well, we don't write our laws in the state to apply or not apply to people based on prior actions that they may have undertaken. I think it is important to note, though, that in the Stand Your Ground law, if someone is at the moment engaged in an unlawful activity, they don't have access to a Stand Your Ground defense. They can still claim self-defense, but they would then have imposed upon them a duty to retreat if they are at that time engaged in an unlawful activity. But it would make no sense to say if someone had committed a prior offense at a prior point in their life or at a prior point in time that somehow laws would apply to them differently if they weren't engaged in an unlawful activity at the time that they were attacked.
Do you at all worry that the Stand Your Ground law might lead people to do things they might not normally do? George Zimmerman was told by people to stay away, to not follow Trayvon Martin. We don't know what his mindset was, but he did follow him. Do you worry that there might be people who think, well, you know what, I got this law to back me up, I'm going to do this, and kind of open up vigilantism or more acts of violence than there would be without the law?
There is zero evidence to suggest that states that have stand your ground laws on the books have higher acts or more acts of violence than states who don't. As a matter of fact, since 2005, when Florida passed our stand your ground law, violent crime has plummeted. There's no evidence that George Zimmerman knew anything about the stand your ground law during the facts that led to his trial.
Well, actually, didn't a former professor come forward and say he taught it to him in a classroom?
Well, if I think when someone's being attacked, it's preposterous to assume that they're rolling through their college lectures in their mind or that they're rolling through the intricate elements of Chapter 776 of Florida statutes. It's sort of a natural instinct to have fight or flight.
I believe he was studying criminal justice because he had wanted to be a policeman, so wouldn't you hope that that's exactly what's going through their mind, what they've been taught in a class?
I don't think there's anything that indicates that someone rolls through Florida statutes when they're being attacked. It's an instinct reaction that one has.
What do you say to the law enforcement person who comes forward and says he's disturbed about stand your ground, he or she?
There's no doubt that we have prosecutors and people in law enforcement who are divided on the issue. And that is because, without a doubt, stand your ground makes it harder for prosecutors under certain circumstances to bring cases. That was the point. In states that have stand your ground laws around the country, the number of justifiable homicides that occur is higher than in states without stand your ground laws. If that wasn't the case, there would be no purpose for the law. And so when someone is being accused of homicide and they were standing their ground, they were acting in self-defense, we believe in Florida it should be a little harder to prosecute those folks, particularly because it's just an incredibly challenging exercise to second guess the actions of a victim who was under attack.
So do you plan to start holding hearings on this in the fall?
Yes, I do. The House Speaker in the state of Florida has indicated that this issue is of such concern and of such importance that we ought to give anybody who believes the Stand Your Ground law should be repealed a platform to make their case. And if a majority of the legislature believes that the Stand Your Ground law should be repealed, then that proposal will move through our legislature. But my prediction is that many legislators will arrive at the conclusion that I've arrived at, which is that the Stand Your Ground law makes Floridians safer and that it appropriately puts the law on the sides of victims, not attackers.
Representative Gates, thanks so much for speaking to us about it.
Thank you so much, Robin.
We'll check back with you in the fall.
All right.
And by the way, we referenced law enforcement. The Florida Sheriff's Association had no official stance on Stand Your Ground until Friday when they announced they now support the law. Brian Austin, though, is a police detective in Madison, Wisconsin, who's questioning it. He wrote it essentially removes the requirement to evaluate if the other person is an imminent threat.
And your thoughts are always welcome at hereandnow.org or on facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Still to come, new findings that could help people with epilepsy. That's after the news. Here and Now.